Welcome to Prostate Cancer and You, a podcast produced by the Massachusetts Prostate Cancer Coalition, whose mission it is to educate, connect, and support men at risk, newly diagnosed individuals, survivors, and their families. It also connects organizations and professionals who seek to conquer and cure prostate cancer. I'm your host, Jordan Rich. On today's podcast, we'll be focusing on a new treatment for prostate cancer involving incision-free ablation intervention. We have with us Dr. Preston Sprenkel, urologic oncologist with the Yale School of Medicine, and Bob Palmer, who was treated successfully with the procedure and is here to share his story. I think I'd like to start with you, Bob. Let's have you give us a thumbnail as to your experience with prostate cancer. What did you go through? Where are you now?
Jordan, I'm now feeling great, but what I went through was, I think, probably similar to what most men went through, with the exception that my father had passed away of prostate cancer years and years ago. And prostate awareness and screening was always a part of my annual physical. But over the pandemic, I think, like a lot of most men or most people, you may not have been as diligent about your health care or screening and things of that nature. So I guess it was about the December 2 years ago when I went in and said, okay, give me a full workup, doc. And my PSA came out a little high. So he suggested I go to a urologist. Not really expecting much, you know, expecting the same, okay, you're fine, we'll monitor it. It was high. And the doctor at the time said, we think you need to go ahead and get a biopsy. I went and got the biopsy, and a couple of days later, they called me back in and said, hey, you have prostate cancer. It hit me like a ton of bricks.
Let's talk a little bit about the screening process. All men have heard, I hope by now, about PSA, what it is. Maybe you can just delineate. And also the changes that are now occurring with MRI and other ways to screen. Where are we in terms of PSA? Dr. Sprenkel?
Yeah, so PSA, or prostate-specific antigen, is a blood test that we use to screen for prostate cancer. It remains one of our best first-line tests because prostate cancer is almost always asymptomatic. So very rarely do men have symptoms of actually prostate cancer. And so using something like PSA is very important. It is the first step. There are other tests that can be done to confirm someone's risk. That includes biomarkers, imaging biomarkers like MRI, as well as serum and or blood and urine biomarkers that can also be used.
For many men, and Bob, you're one of them, the idea of surgery, the idea of invasive investigation is scary. It's scary for anybody for any reason. So were you presented with options at the time? And let's talk about what options you decided to follow up on.
You know, I think a lot of men aren't really wanting to get their prostate even checked in terms of, you know, what you go through with your own position. So the idea that you need to do more and actually go get an actual blood test is something that I think it may not be as universally recognized as you might think. If I could urge anything, and I've urged everyone that I know now, is hey, get it checked regularly. If there was an easier way to get it checked, you know, I think that would be even more advantageous for the masses. But to answer your question about the options I was given, in terms of what's the next step after learning I had prostate cancer, I wanted to take care of it right away. My immediate response is, well, let's get this taken care of. And surgery, a robotic prostatectomy was suggested based on my case. Also, they suggested, radiation therapy, both of which came with a lot of drawbacks in my mind in terms of what you're left with, how were you going to be in. Was there a potential to be incontinent afterwards, or would I be able to perform in the bedroom because I'm a relatively young guy? At the time, I was 58 years old and wasn't really looking forward to retiring, so to speak. So the side effects and then the post-treatment also suggested things like hormonal therapy and things that just weren't very attractive in my mind.
Before we get to where you went beyond this step, let me go back to Dr. Sprenkel for a second and talk about what Bob's referring to, this option, at least the option plan up till the present time. What are we seeing, though, trend-wise that's more positive for men? And Bob will tell his story in a minute, but more positive for men, less invasive issues that would require less sacrifice in the treatment, shall we say?
Well, yeah, so the standard of care therapies for decades have been to kind of treat the entire prostate. Many of the surgeries and treatments for cancer historically have been large radical treatments where we remove the whole organ, we remove the whole prostate, remove the whole kidney, remove the whole breast. Over decades, it has become apparent that's not always necessary. We can use breast cancer as an example. We now do lumpectomy very often rather than a radical mastectomy and removing the whole breast. Similarly, in prostate cancer, as the imaging with MRI has improved, as our technology has improved, we can now localize prostate cancers within the prostate gland and are beginning to have the ability to treat just the area where the prostate cancer is located. And by doing a more precise treatment, we can spare a lot of more of those functions that Bob was talking about that all men are concerned about. So maintaining sexual function, maintaining urinary control and urinary continence, and even sometimes impact on bowel function. So, there are a lot of different things that by being able to do a more targeted therapy, we can preserve a lot of those important quality of life factors.
So, Bob, let's talk about what you did. The fact that you're so hearty and hale right now, thumbs up. Share with the audience what route you took and why the technology is so exciting for all of us.
There had to be a better way. There had to be something more advanced, something that was more sympathetic to a man and what a man goes through. When I told people I had prostate cancer, they go like, "Oh, they've got cures for that and you'll be okay." But what people don't really realize is that all those things that can go wrong with some of these traditional therapies or what's currently considered the standard of care come along with those things that we talked about, incontinence, the idea of potentially wearing a pad or a diaper, or even, what I said about your being able to perform with your significant other. Those things are really real to men. So as I kept looking at the options, I finally settled on a robotic prostatectomy and set a date for that May. And as I got closer and closer, I was informed by a friend who said, "Hey, I'm not a doctor, but you should really look into this thing I heard." And I was like, "Okay, I'll look into anything at this point." In the meantime, I was being scheduled for my anesthesiologist and everything else for my surgery. And as soon as I looked into it, I said, "This is worth not even the gamble, but the advancement that this at least shows me as I researched it." So I canceled my surgery. And then 2 months later, I was getting the TULSA-PRO performed at a nearby hospital.
Surgery, we surgically remove the entire prostate. So we significantly change a man's anatomy when we do that. The prostate is in continuity with the bladder, and the urethra runs through the middle of the prostate that drains the urine and into the penis. So when we remove the prostate, we actually have to put the bladder and the urethra and the penis back together. So it significantly changes a man's anatomy. With ablation therapies, and you're asked about Profound and the TULSA-PRO, with that technology, that's one of the ablation therapies that we use. It is treatment inside an MRI scanner, so we can use the MRI to visualize the prostate while we're doing the treatment. We can plan the treatment very precisely in terms of where we think it is appropriate to treat and what are the important structures or areas that we don't want to treat. And that's important when trying to preserve those quality of life factors like urinary function, sexual function. But importantly, we're not kind of, it's a minimally invasive procedure. There are no incisions with this procedure. So we don't cut anything. We don't even stick any needles in the skin. Everything is done using a man's natural sort of holes or orifices. With the device goes into the urethra. And that sounds terrible to some men, but you're asleep. You're asleep when we do it, but there are no cuts. So there are no incisions to heal from. And it's truly kind of minimally invasive. Yeah, it sounds better.
Yeah, I'm breathing a little easier as I speak to both of you gentlemen. And Dr. Sprenkel, just to make this point clear, a caveat, is this likely for the majority of people out there like Bob, or is it something that you have to decide patient by patient whether it makes sense?
So I would say that the patient selection is the key to having these treatments be successful. So it is not an appropriate treatment across the board. We specifically select people with an appropriate grade of cancer. So it needs to be, we don't treat everyone. And the cancer kind of needs to be appropriately evaluated by a clinician. I can't even give broad just generalizations because it is a very specific individual decision.
But before I come back to Bob, doctor, is it likely that this is the path that we're going to be seeing,
referring to ablation therapy?
To me, this is an extension of personalized medicine. And that's something that I feel strongly in, both in having a conversation with a patient and figuring out what they want and what's important to them. Just because I'm a surgeon doesn't mean that everyone needs to have surgery, for example. But, you know, that personalization extends to having a variety of treatments available. So we have surgery for people where surgery is the best thing. We have ablation therapies like TULSA. We have radiation therapy. We have other ablation therapies. And kind of the more tools you have in your tool belt, the more precise you can and better you can adjust to what someone wants and needs. You don't have to use a hammer for a screw. You can use what is correct for that patient.
Makes perfect sense. And by the way, in the show notes for this podcast, you can find links and more information about the specific program, the Tulsa Pro, through Profound Medical. Bob, back to you for one more quickie. I'm very happy to ask you this question because you look terrific. How's life post this procedure? How have you been? And what advice do you have in general for men? You've already shared some good advice.
Let me just tell you, so the surgery, I was in and out, then an hour and a half, and then recovered, you know, from the anesthesia, and was having dinner with my significant other that evening. And then a week later, I was on the beach playing with my kids and having a great time. I think that in and of itself, and not having to stay over in the hospital, you know, I think the idea of going in a hospital and staying overnight, there's so many other things that can happen in a hospital. So I kind of calculated all those risks before I made that decision to go with this kind of therapy. It has paid off immensely, you know, and just knowing that this can be available to more and more men. And if we could just help more men make smart decisions about what therapies there are out there, especially one like this that has presented me with kind of a best case outcome scenario. You know, I can't suggest anything else other than just do your research, go online. They have a wonderful presence online. You can find all information there. I'm glad to be on this podcast just to spread the word that take care of yourself, take care of your prostate, and know your options.
Excellent. We provide information that leads to hope. And I must say, it's not often that we have a doctor on the screen. Folks can't see you, Dr. Sprinkle, but you're smiling and nodding. You're as happy as anybody to know that this kind of stuff is taking shape and more technology is coming our way.
Very much so. I think it's great for patients. It's great for providers to be able to offer men therapies that they want and that are, you know, able to help them. And I think, you know, what we have always done with surgery, we're always trying to help people and we are doing that. And I think there are fantastic surgeons out there that do a very, very good job. And sometimes the only option is a surgical treatment. And they're constantly surgeons making advances in how to decrease the side effects of the surgical procedure. But I think it is it's a paradigm shift to start considering these ablation therapies and finding the right patient, and for the patients, finding the right treatment. And, you know, if you are going to a doctor who is not mentioning these as an option or why they are not a good option for you, then maybe you need to find another doctor who's able to inform you about them. There is so much technology and it is advancing so quickly that not everyone is able to keep up with it all. It's hard. It's really challenging. So I wouldn't say that, you know, every doctor is trying to do the best they can, but not everyone has the same tool belt.
Using the resources that organizations like MPCC offer is a great step for anyone out there. Gentlemen, thank you. A great panel, Robert Palmer and Dr. Preston Sprinkle. Thank you very, very much. Hope is the word.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you in part by a generous grant from Profound Medical. Now, for more information on incision-free ablation and the Tulsa Pro Profound System, please go to profoundmedical.com. Once again, profoundmedical.com.
You can also read the show notes in the podcast section on the MPCC website, masspcc.org. I invite you to stay tuned for future podcasts featuring valuable information and resources, the latest in research and treatment, and stories of real people who have challenged prostate cancer and won. To learn more about the Massachusetts Prostate Cancer Coalition and to hear the Prostate Cancer In You podcast, go to masspcc.org. That's masspcc.org. You can also listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and with all Android players. This is Jordan Rich wishing you a fabulous day.